Women the Engineer would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians and owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded, the Yagara and Turrbal people of Meanjin. We pay respect to their elders past and present. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Women That Engineer, a podcast to empower female engineers to break the bias one story at a time. You may have noticed there was no episode last fortnight, and that is because I've been planning out the next few episodes of the podcast, and this episode is a start of it. This episode is all about knowing your value and potential and reaching it. To provide insight and experience, I am joined by a force in empowering professional women to shatter barriers and embrace limitless, guilt-free success. She is an accomplished author, distinguished project manager, mentor, and a woman who has broken through traditional culture to be a success and inspiration. Eva, hello and welcome to the Women Engineer podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today.
Thank you for having me, Lily. Looking forward to contribute to Women That Engineer. It is an amazing podcast. It's a great idea and I think it was long overdue.
Thank you. I'm glad that you're a part of it. I think you've got a lot to offer. So let's get started. So I always start episodes asking how your engineering journey began. So how did you first hear about engineering?
Well, I have no idea where I first heard about it, to be quite honest. I grew up on a farm. Yeah. Everyone that I knew was a farmer. No one had a career. I think we had someone that came and must have been a surveyor to our property. Yeah. And I was about 6 years old, I think. And I linked that surveyor with an engineer. That was kind of like, I want to be an engineer. I didn't have a clue what that meant, but it sounded exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the beginning of it. And then at school, I was really excelling in sciences and the STEM subjects. Again, I was supposed to be a farmer's wife, so there was not a real need for me studying that. But I kind of felt like, oh, what would you like to do when you grow up? And I was like, oh, you can be a teacher. I was like, no, I can't be a teacher. I strangle someone. So chemist, I like, no, that's not me. That's I want to do something different. And somehow there was a lot of petrochemical complexes near where I grew up. Yeah. And it was like, I want to be part of that. And yeah. I started my journey and I studied petrochemical course back in my home country, and that led me towards engineering.
Yeah, wow, what a journey. It sounds like you've really broken through a lot of almost like silent barriers. You had an expectation of what your future was going to look like and you were like, no, that's not what I want it to look like. So how did you then go on to, get your qualifications? You're here working in Australia. What did that look like for you?
Well, I finished my petrochemical technician course, and there were several barriers there. There was a lot of discrimination against me being a minority in the country that I was. Against women in general. In fact, every job that I was qualified for stated no female candidate will be accepted.
Wow.
And the civil war was looming. So I thought, you know what? I heard of this country when I was a kid, Australia, I'll go and scout. So scouted for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, it sounds like a good place. People are friendly. I don't care that I don't speak the language. They were helpful. So I came and 6 months later, I was here, 20 years of age, a suitcase and zero English. I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
So again, there are a lot of barriers. The community I grew up in were mostly blue collar workers, and that was the expectation. So I ought to again find a husband and work in a factory or some kind of low paid menial work. And I felt like, well, I could do that back home. Why don't I learn some English first? So I went and learned some English, and during that course, I was there was like, oh, what's your next step? Like, you are at the end of this stage of the course, and I was like, I would like to study chemical engineering. I don't know how to go about it. So I was, so my teacher at the time said, well, your English not quite there, but you're learning so fast. I think you should apply now. So all excited, I filled up the forms. Mind you, this was late, so I actually filled up and paid late fees to get in. And I enrolled in three chemical engineering courses. Oh, so I thought. I actually got a place in one, and everyone in my community said, no, you shouldn't go for it. You can't speak the language. You have no chance, no hope. Don't even waste money.
Oh, that's hard to
And
hear.
I enrolled in civil engineering, but I thought it was chemical or general. So off I go, excited, started my first few days at uni, and I, hold on a minute, what's a where's Sky Bridge got to do with chemical engineering?
Yeah, what a shock.
I soon learned that it wasn't a chemical engineering course. After all, never mind. I stuck along with it, and it was a hard yakka, like very, very poor English at the time. And I finished the first year because that was my prerequisite in order to be accepted in one of the other two courses that I had my preferences for. I was told, if you pass with flying colors, we'll take you next year. So I was like, okay, challenge accepted. So yeah, I was living in Melbourne at the time, and as I was going to my civil engineering course, I used to drive past the chemical complex or petrochemical complex in Altona. I was like, I can't stop, but my heart hurts. I want to do that. So I finished the first year, and then I got into the RMIT to study chemical engineering, the course I wanted, the uni I wanted. And I, despite all these naysayers that were surrounding me, I actually passed with honors. And
Wow,
I
that's great.
represented the university at a final year design project at the state competition. So I felt like there was, when you believe in yourself and when you back yourself, believe yourself and trust yourself, regardless what people around you say. It's important to believe in you.
That's so powerful, and yeah, I can't imagine how daunting it must have been. To exciting but very scary to kind of leave behind what you knew to pursue this passion that you just knew was for you. I just think that that's so amazing, and you've grown so much in your career. You're now a project manager. And yet you graduated with honors. I think that's really inspiring, and I can't imagine that that would have been easy either. So I'm in awe, because I obviously am very privileged. I moved to Australia from the UK. I've had quite an easy life, and to see and hear the stories of people like you, I think is just, it's amazing. It's great.
Thank you. When I started, I had no idea how hard it's gonna be. And it was really about not having a vision, first of all. So I always have a vision. I have a vision board, and I had it since I was very, very young. That's the most important thing. So have a vision, because whatever you envisage, it'll happen. Surround yourself with people that support you. But if they are not there, that's okay. Believe in yourself. And I used to always say, someone really, really close to me said to me when I first got into my first engineering course, don't waste your money. You can't speak the language. You're new here. There's no way you're going to pass. You'll fail guaranteed. Don't even buy your book. Don't waste money. And I said, and I was like, all the facts that this person was saying, like, yes, I can't speak the language. Yes, all these were true. And I thought to myself, but you don't know me. you don't know me. And I said, you might be right. I might fail. I don't know. But what I can tell you, I will give everything I got.
Yeah.
And if I fail, I'm okay with that.
You never know till you try.
Absolutely. And don't let anyone ever tell you you can't do that or you're not good enough or whatever that people around are saying. Because we're fortunate enough with internet now that we can find people that will back us.
100%.
And that's 100%. Why I like to be part of this.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're so right. I think sometimes going into a space where you are the minority in whatever way you do cling to your support system, and without them you can feel quite alone. And I think it's a really good reminder that you should be your main support system. Something I always remind myself, I read this quote on like Instagram or something and I was like 15, feeling really sad, who knows why, but it was, there's only one person that's with you from the day that you're born to the day that you die, and that's you. So why live your life for anyone else? And it's something that I live by, and you just reminded me of that in what you said.
Okay. Well, Eva, now that we've had a little bit of a dive into your journey, let's take a little quick break.
Hi there. I hope you're loving this episode of Women That Engineer. Want to be on the podcast and share your story? No matter where you are in your career, I and your fellow listeners want to know all about it. Send an expression of interest to the Women That Engineer email, womentheengineerau@gmail.com, or fill out the expression of interest form in the Women That Engineer Facebook group.
Now let's continue with today's episode. So Eva, we know how you got into engineering, and I think your story is so complex and inspiring. And you do a lot of work in supporting professional women, and you are the author of a book called Limitless and Guilt-Free Success. Can you tell us more about what you do in this space and what your book is all about?
Oh, thank you. The book is really to bring to forefront to women that there are myths, but they are not myths. There are things that are happening every single day in women's lives. And often we find, as women or women that I coach, find that they are alone, that what's happening to them is a unique situation and it's hard to talk. And especially women that are in a male-dominated industry or women that are progressing in their career. As you move forward, statistically, there is a lot more men than women in that space. And there's a different set of rules. Like, it's about how we present ourselves. It's what society brings us. And it's really bringing that up and saying, this is happening. We are changing it, but we need to change faster. My journey is really, I find it my purpose is to support women individually, as a group, as a movement, to improve the situation for us, to find allies in each other. And partly the reason why men are often successful, because they have this brotherhood around them, that they work together. If that there is a dispute, they work through that and then move on and have a drink. Kind of like figuratively speaking.
Yes.
We as women, we need to get there. We need to get there and prop each other, support each other, give a hand to each other and pat on the back and say, you got this. You got this, Lily. You're doing a great job here to do exactly that. It's to rise and say, let's help each other. Because that's fundamentally that. That's the first step. The second, the part why I brought the book was because I know or read somewhere, I can't remember where, that there's going to be 127 years before there will be equality, true equality between men and women. And I have a daughter here, picture is behind, I have one of each children. But for my daughter, I thought to myself, I want it to happen in her lifetime. And rather than sitting here and saying, oh, this is statistic, this is this, I wanted to do something about it. Because if each one of us do something, then we can make a movement.
Yeah.
And I learned anecdotally, someone is saying, on a beach, there were two men walking, or two people walking, doesn't have to be men or women. And there was a whole lot of fish on the beach flapping out of the water. And one of the men had to bend down, throw one of the fish one at a time in a sea. And the person that was walking opposite is like, why bother? Look how many fish are out here. And why, you're not making a difference. And the person bent down again, grabbed the fish, tossed it in the water. And I said, it makes difference for this one and this one and this one. So that's what I want to do. Make that difference as little or as big I can and create a ripple effect.
Yeah.
So that's really what I want. It's to unlock the potential in us and accept there are bias, but we as women, we're the mothers, we're the sisters, we're the wife's girlfriend. We play the role.
Yeah.
We can, if not in one generation, in a couple of generations, we can turn around and find this is not about women are better or men are this or that. It's about changing the society to recognize that we all have potential and bring everyone to the best of their potential.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I think that perfectly also captures why I started this podcast. And as I've grown up, I've definitely noticed the things that women do experience. And I think it's so complex, and it comes back to our patriarchal society. And it can be so difficult to navigate. And there is definitely a sense of, you know, if women get successful, then they're taking away from the men. And, you know, I feel as a, when I was going through school, even university, when I succeeded, I was always compared to another girl, like I was competing against her. And it took me a really long time to overcome that. And I think you are so right when you say that we really need to build a network with each other. Because when you look at it, like part, like a lot of people say, oh, I want to be one of the boys, you know, and it's like, well, you know, or, oh, engineering is a boys club. And it's like, well, why can't it be a girls club too? You know, let's change that around. Let's connect together, because you're right. We will unlock that potential. And when we work together, it's going to be so much easier. And I love your anecdote as well. Sometimes it can feel like such a big battle, and sometimes the things you do might not change the world, but it can change the world for one person. And I think that the work you do is great, and I have ordered your book, and I'm very excited to listen, read it, and dive into that. And Eva, I would like to pick your brain a little bit more, maybe get some of your advice on how to navigate the professional landscape, because I feel like you probably have a really great view on how to handle challenges. So something I put out to my community was a couple of different like topics that I thought, you know, might be fun to discuss on the podcast. And one of them was approaching pay negotiations. And I think being remunerated correctly for the work that you do is really important. You know, we give our time and our expertise, and we should be paid fairly and equally for that. So something I would love to know is your advice on how to approach a pay negotiation because of learning of a pay gap with your male colleagues, versus if it was because you felt that you weren't being paid fairly against the industry standards.
So that's a great topic, and it is been talked about, and the way often women think, should I say I am a girl? And I feel like when you come to work, do you say, I'm an engineer and I'm a girl? You don't need to say that. because you come as you and the gender is irrelevant. So that would be the first thing, because if we in our mind think that we are this gender or that gender, or this is the disadvantage that we're coming from, our unconscious mind will actually try to, it will try to prove us right and keep us stunned in the level where we are, or below where we ought to be, or where we believe that we should be, or where we want to be.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. So it is really, as an engineer, for example, or as a person doing this role, whatever it is that I'm doing, and note all the things, and especially if you are starting and you're looking to review yourself, your where you are at, start where you were a year ago or 5 years ago, whenever you started, and just note all those things that you have improved, all those things that you added value. So you actually say, well, I'm here because I add value here, and therefore I should be rewarded accordingly.
Yep.
To say that, you also need to do your research. So you need to find out, and there's a lot of organizations that do all sorts of market value assessment. I used to regularly look out my pay against APESMA, that used to provide a summary of scientists and engineers, and I would say based on the level of experience, based on the skill set, based on the role that you are in, and then say, where do I sit in that scale? Because that particular organization would actually specify based on the state, based on the level, based on the role that you're in, or the experience, or what the value add, whether you report to, whether somebody reports to you. So all those things were put in, and then look at the span. And the way I used to look at, I never look at the average, because I'm not average.
No, you're not. You are above average.
So I feel like I go above and beyond when I'm there. So I want to see what is the top.
Yeah.
What is that the person reporting on the higher level? And that's my benchmark. That's where I start. Like, I need to be here because based on the skill set, this is where I belong.
Yeah.
If I knew whether someone in my company or is paying more, I have mixed opinion of that.
Mm-hmm.
I probably personally would not use that, wouldn't say such and such or someone in my team is paid more. It would be more like, I have done, this is where I am. I like to review my remuneration and really practice until you believe that you deserved it. Because often women say, oh, should I? I feel nervous. I feel emotional. No. You coming to negotiate, treat it like a day at work.
Yep.
This is where you put your emotion in a pocket and say, I'm here to back myself.
Yeah.
It's all about mindset. Negotiation is about mindset. It's about believing in what you deserve.
Yep.
And I feel the pay is the money, is an exchange of value. So when we come and negotiate, and if we negotiate below what market is asking, we are sending a message that we don't believe in ourselves and we're not confident enough, and therefore we will take the lower pay.
Yeah.
Because when you ask for what you believe, and I always ask more, because you always ask more so you can negotiate down. that's my strategy. Yeah. It's like, this is what I want, so I'm going to start from here.
Yeah.
And then we'll meet somewhere in the middle. And it's going to be, you got to do what it takes. Sometimes you might need to have, you know, you might get to a certain point, and then I say, what else can I do to take me to the next level?
Yeah.
And do that. So that's sort of in a nutshell. It's like, money is like, if you You've done all your bits, you've done your experience, you've done your studies. This is not what you should be. This is what you deserve, or you choose to be paid. So the language we say to ourselves is very, very important, because it's different if it's, I ought to do that, I should do that, I could have done that. It's not. It's like, I want this, I choose this, I deserve this.
Yeah.
In your unconscious mind, your mindset will then dictate you to what you need to do and what you need to say.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think all of those points are great. And I really like that you said to take the gender out of it, because I think obviously with the gender pay gap, you know, it is real. And I so would be frustrated if I learned that inside information. But I think your approach of taking a step back, taking gender out of it, and putting your expertise, your value in front, I think, yeah, I think that that's, I think that's great. And I think it, I feel there's a value in saying I am a woman in engineering, but sometimes I do just want to be an engineer and just seen as an engineer, no gender, no bias. So I really like that approach. I think it's really cool. Something I hadn't really, I don't think I personally would have thought of on my own, or people listening that might provide them some insight to. And you've said, you know, when you look at that band of pay, that you don't look at the average, you look at the top value. You're a very confident person and you've got that self-belief. What would you say to someone maybe who doesn't have that and thinks, I feel like I just like do work and I'm like meeting expectations of my job. I don't feel like I'm going above and beyond. Would you say that, would you say, if you don't, if you feel like you're working averagely, I say that with bunny quotation marks, should you still go for that average value? Or do you think they should aim for the top, still come with all of that preparation, and see what their employer says?
Well, there's two things here. One is, I believe I'm doing average job. Often, and women in general, this is gross generalization, underestimate what they do. They are the harshest critics of themselves, and what they think is just doing the job or meeting the expectation is often beyond exceeding. So that's the first thing. So work on the mindset. What causes you to feel that you are just doing the bit? And even if you're just doing the work, you are doing the work and you are meeting the expectation. Therefore, you ought to be rewarded for what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's the mindset of, oh, I am this, or I would be just happy. You know, I don't want to ask too much because, you know, this is a flexibility and this is here and all these excuses that we say ourselves because it's scary asking for what you want.
Yeah.
I'm scared. Don't get me wrong. I get shaky hands and I've got the sweaty palms. Everyone does. That's a normal. Because you're pushing yourself outside your comfort zone.
Yep.
And you're asking for what you deserve. So that's sort of one side. So it's kind of reassess what you actually, what's the language that you're talking to yourself for work and everything else.
Yep.
So that's first thing. The second thing is, if you do truly believe that you are just meeting expectation, ask yourself, what do I need to do so I feel that I'm excelling? Because it's really what you need. Sometimes you might go to your manager and say, hey, I really want to push myself to the next level or push my comfort level. What would you recommend I ought to do? And write down what you're doing here, write down what your goal is, because the other thing that we have almost like a memory, once we reach a certain point, we forget what it was back then. So it's good to review. This is where I was then. This is where I am. Wow, I have grown this much. Therefore, it should be aligned with what I am rewarded.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I've loved your response there. I'm feeling very prepared to go into my performance review in a few weeks or future ones. I love the way that you phrase the conversation and your mindset and your approach. I think that we can all learn something from you. I think it is so powerful. And so Eva, this is all we've had time for today. But for anybody listening that wants to know more about you and the support that you offer for women and your book, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me if you type Limitless or Guilt-Free Success, or you type my name. I hope you come to my website. And I am actually looking to set up some like a group challenges that gets the women and just get the taste of where you are and where you want to see and whether you to push and close that gap, because we all need someone to challenge us.
Yes.
We all need to someone to ask us those questions. So I'm here to do that, and I'm happy to have that conversation with whoever reaches out to say, hey, I'm here. Sometimes, how do I go next? Or sometimes, where is the next?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I'll put your website in the show notes as well. And yeah, Eva, if you ever want to collab with Women the Engineer, I'd be happy to share something in our Facebook group to get people into it. You just let me know. And yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you, Lily. It's a great move for starting Women That Engineer. That is amazing. At your age, it's brilliant that you have that passion. Thank you for the work you're putting in, and thank you for inviting me.
No, thank you so much, Eva. Ever since I met you, I was like, I want her. I want to chat with Eva. No, it's been an absolute pleasure, Eva. And so this episode will be dropping on Friday morning. I'll be popping something in our Facebook group to ask people's thoughts and questions about the episode. So anyone listening, if you're not in our Facebook group, please join. It's called Women That Engineer. And I guess I'll see you all in the next episode.